إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. We continue reading from the book of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Al-Muhaddith Abd al-Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr حفظه الله تفسير الناسك بأحكام المناسك. In the last class we start at the Tawaf because the Shaykh is giving a detailed description of the Umrah, what you do for Umrah. Because when you're making Hajj Tamattu, you make it to Mecca, you make the Umrah. Of course, you do the Ihram in the Miqat, and then you make Talbiyah, then you continue making Talbiyah until you reach Mecca, and you stop the Talbiyah right before you start the Tawaf, when you enter the Masjid al-Haram, because the Tawaf is around the Kaaba. And a great benefit the Shaykh he gave us is that Tawaf is a ibadah, is an act of worship that should be only around the Kaaba. No Tawaf around anything else. And the Tawaf, which is the circumambulating going around the Kaaba, is 7 times. 7 rounds. Each round starts by the Hajar al-Aswad. Don't start anywhere else. You have to start from Hajar al-Aswad. Why? Because that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. And we are commanded to follow his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every round from the 7 rounds starts and began at the Hajar al-Aswad and ends at the Hajar al-Aswad. So when you start from Hajar al-Aswad and go around the whole, around the Kaaba, and find yourself lined up again with al-Hajar al-Aswad, that's 1 round. And in this Tawaf, a person should be on purification, should be on Tahara, from Hadath and from Khabath. That's why the women on their menses, they do not make Tawaf. The women on their menses, they do not make Tawaf. They wait until their menses come to an end and they purify themselves, then make Tawaf. And a person have to make the Kaaba to their left. When they go around the Kaaba has to be to their left. Likewise, when they go around the Kaaba, they have to go around the Hijr also. The Hijr is that half circle that is built, is a wall, but it's like a half circle wall. It's a wall, but it's a half circle. Some people, they call it Hijr Ismail. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that's wrong. That Hijr Ismail has nothing to do with it. Because that wall, that half circle wall, was built by the people of Quraysh in Mecca. And of course Ismail died, alayhi salam, way before that. And they did that because there is a reason, because when the Kaaba was destroyed and with the flood and the like, and then the Quraysh, they built it, but they didn't have enough, you know, money and funds to build it as it was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. So a part of it, they could not build it. So what they did, they put that half circle as an indication that this is a part of the Kaaba. And it stays like that since. So the Shaykh says, if somebody make, because there is a little gap between the half circle and the Kaaba itself. If somebody wants to think like there is a shortcut, and when this person is not making Tawaf, Why? Because this person now, he is not making tawaf around the Kaaba, but just a part of the Kaaba. And that person have no tawaf. See how it's a big mistake. Once again, it's important to learn. So if a person, the Shaykh says, if a person did six of them around everything, except one, but he take that shortcut, that person has no tawaf. Because he have to do seven of them, all complete. Another mistake that certain people they do, especially in the last round, they do six, all of them, because they have to keep going. But at the last one, way before the Hajar al-Aswad, they exit and they leave. And they didn't complete that last round. Now you have to continue until you line up, your body is lined up with the Hajar al-Aswad. And then at that time you can exit the tawaf. Likewise, the tawaf has to be in the Masjid al-Haram, not outside the masjid. Not somebody go around, he's, look, it's crowded, I don't mind walking some extra miles. He's going to go and make tawaf around the masjid where the Kaaba is. La. Person has to go inside the masjid and make tawaf around the Kaaba, not around the masjid where the Kaaba is. Now, whenever the person that's making tawaf find himself beside the Hajar al-Aswad, he kiss the Hajar al-Aswad if that person can. But if he cannot, touch it with his right hand, not with the left. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he says the left hand is only for to clean impurities. Al-Hajar al-Aswad and the Rukn al-Yamani should be touched with the right hand, not with the left hand. And you kiss your hand at this time. That's for the Hajar al-Aswad. You kiss your hand if you cannot kiss. Because sometimes you go, there are too many people, you cannot put your head and kiss it. But you may be able to put your right hand on it and touch it, and then you can kiss your hand. Only for Hajar al-Aswad. But in a Rukn al-Yamani, you just touch it with your right hand, and you don't kiss your hand, and you do not kiss any part of the Kaaba period except the Hajar al-Aswad. Remember this. And keep in mind, the Shaykh says now that kissing the Hajar al-Aswad is ibadah for Allah. That shows ta'zeemullah. This is not because of barakah or something. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, because I'm giving you some benefits, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, I don't want you to think like I'm making mistakes in the names. No, I'm just giving you some benefits that the Shaykh, maybe he didn't mention here. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, you do not, the Hajar al-Aswad, it is not kissed because of blessings. And therefore you find some ignorant people, they put their hand on a Hajar al-Aswad, and then those who could not, they go and kiss the man's hand. Because barakah. Or he rub his hand that just touched Hajar al-Aswad on their heads and on their chest, and they happy. La. Those who can kiss the Hajar al-Aswad, while they kiss it, they remember that this is an act of worship. Ta'zeeman lillah. Not because of barakah or blessings from Hajar al-Aswad. Hajar al-Aswad has no blessings. As Umar radiallahu anhu said, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ حَجَرٌ لَا تَضُرُّ وَلَا تَنْفَعُ وَلَوْلَا أَنِّي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ يُقَبِّلُكَ مَا قَبَّلْتُكَ. He says, indeed, when Umar radiallahu anhu kissed the black stone, he says, indeed, I know that you are only a stone. You cannot cause harm and you cannot bring any benefits. If I didn't see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissing you, I would not kiss you. SubhanAllah. Also, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, a man saw him kissing the Hajar al-Aswad, and he asked him, he said, why you do this? Then he says, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam holding it with his right hand and kissing it, al-hadith. Then the Shaykh mentioned other ahadith. From them is that the Prophet ﷺ, he made the tawaf around the Kaaba or riding on a camel. Okay? Therefore, it is permissible to ride. And especially for those who have need to do so, some people, they are very old, some people, they may have a broken leg or maybe bad knees or whatever the case, these people, they can ride, whether somebody carry them or there is those carts. You know, that some, whether you take one with you, you can rent one from there or buy one, or you can hire somebody in there, that there are people over there that can push you or push your mother or your father or somebody who needs that. So لا بأس بذلك. Because Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet ﷺ, he made a tawaf around the house of Allah, riding on a camel. Whenever he get beside it, he point to it. He point to it. Also another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ have a mihjan. A mihjan is a long staff, a long stick that has a, like, is a curved like a hand. And the Prophet ﷺ, he used to use that staff and touch the Hajar al-Aswad with it. The Shaykh says, now, keep in mind, kissing the Hajar al-Aswad, making it to Hajar al-Aswad, touching it with your right hand, kissing it, is all sunnah for those who are able to do so. But if a person cannot get to the Hajar al-Aswad except through fighting, causing harm to himself or harming others, or mixing even with women, because some women don't fear Allah. They don't fear Allah, ignorance, they just mixed with men, a'udhu billah. So that person, you see, if you see it very crowded, you stay away. You stay away. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala, he says, and also, sometimes the people, they want to go and fight for the to get to the Hajar al-Aswad, and because of the crowd and pushing, people, they push them in a way that they giving their back to the Kaaba now. Instead, actually, it is a shart, a condition, that the Kaaba should always be on your left side. That's one mistake. Also, from the mistakes of the tawaf that Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he mentioned, he says, sometimes you find some people, they made hajj with their wives and mothers and daughters, a group of people, men. And you find like 10 men or 15 or 20, what they do? They make a circle, holding hands, okay? Holding hands like this in a circle, and the women are inside that circle to protect those women, okay? But what happened to those people? Those who are doing like this, some of them, what they doing? Their backs to the Kaaba. They're not walking in a way so that their Kaaba is to their left. No, they're back, and they're walking like this. Some, the other side, they facing the Kaaba. It's not on their... And the Shaykh said, this is not permissible for those people. These people are not making tawaf. Because from the conditions of tawaf, is that the Kaaba is supposed to be on their left, to the left. Those people, they shouldn't bring those women inside and fight. And we've seen people fighting, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, don't touch my wife, get away, get away, what? This is the sign. He's supposed to get away from the crowd. That man and his wife, or mother, or sister, or daughter, or mother-in-law, he's the one who's supposed to go somewhere where he's not crowded. Not bring his wife in the crowd, now he's fighting, don't touch my wife, stay away from me. No, subhanAllah, this is not good. The Shaykh, he said, and when you kiss, you say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Or if you cannot get close to the Hajar, you just point to it with your hand and say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, without kissing your hand. And you keep going. And you make dua. There is no specific dua for every round. There is not a specific dua for round one, round two, round three, as there is some people who don't know, masakin, they don't know, juhal. And what they do, people give them little books, and in those books there is dua for this round one, dua for round two, dua for round three, and they tell them, you have to do this dua at this round. If not, your tawaf is not right. Shaykh al-Taymin rahmatullah and Shaykh al-Baz and the ulama, they said this is from the bid'ah, from the innovations of tawaf. And these are mistakes. And it's not permissible. Rather, there is no specific dua for any round. You say whatever you want. Insha'Allah, you make any dua you know. Walhamdulillah. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he says, from the jahl and the ignorance of certain people, that they be reading the dua. As if it's very crowded and slow, they finish the dua way before the half of the circle. And then they stop, that's it. They don't say anything because they say, hey, we already made the dua. You see? Because that's, whoever gave him the book said, that's all you say. Don't add anything. Some others, if it's not crowded and the dua is long and the circle is fast, what they do? Once they see the Hajar Aswad, they stop the dua. They don't even finish the dua. The Shaykh said, this is not from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Also about this dua, you do not make it in jama'ah. It's not from the sunnah. You don't raise your voice in a way that you bother the people. And you're by the Kaaba. The Kaaba has hurma, sanctity. And bothering the people. And most definitely, what certain people do, they have one person with a bullhorn or whatever or not, and he's in front or in the middle or in the back. You see them all in different positions, and he's with loud voice, Allahumma, everybody, Allahumma. Subhanallah. And they bothering everybody. And sometimes they be making mistakes because some of them don't know Arabic. The one who reading, he don't know Arabic. And he be, subhanallah, like Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he mentioned, he said, he himself in tawaf heard this man, obviously he don't know Arabic, he was going to say to them, Allahumma ghnini bi halalika an haramik. Oh Allah, make your halal sufficient for me and protect me from the haram. But this man, he said, Allahumma ghnini bi jalalika. He mixed the ha' with the jim. It's a lot of things. Another person, they say that, like I told you the other day, we were in Umrah, not Hajj. Maybe 7 months away from Hajj. And one guy, he's reading a book, don't know, obviously don't know. Allahumma taqabbal minna hajjana. He's saying, oh Allah, accept from us our Hajj. The people say it after him. Me and another brother, we say, the brother says, hey, Hajj Umrah. He's like, oh my God. Another person, we were at Sheikh Rabia, and we mentioned this to him, and another student, he said, oh, you didn't hear what I heard one day. He said, this man, he was reading the book, and he got to the end of the book, and he said, Tobi'a fi Lahore. It was printed in Arabic. In India, they are saying India. It's even that. It printed in India, he said it. And they say it after him, because they don't know Arabic. Ya akhi, the sunnah is beautiful. You don't need to know Arabic. Just say, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, protect me. Oh Allah, give me Jannah for those. And this, alhamdulillah. The ulama, they said, those who don't know Arabic, they can make dua in their language. Whatever it is. Inshallah ta'ala. Nothing is to be kissed, nothing to be touched in the Hajar al-Aswad. Except the Hajar al-Aswad to be touched with the right hand and kissed. And the Rukn al-Yamani, the one, the corner right before it, to be touched by the right hand, and no kissing the hand nor the corner himself. But now you're going to see people kissing pretty much everything. Kissing the every corner, trying some people, they kiss the cover. That's why in Hajj, subhanAllah, those who go, you see, the government and the authority, they put the curtain higher. People, man, they use. Some people, they even want to kiss the soldier who right by the Hajar al-Aswad. They could get it to this, like, man, kiss you. They start, the man, soldier, sitting there for this, they want to rob him because he's next to the Hajar al-Aswad. La hawla. Many things. But we're learning the sunnah. Every time you go. Every time, if you can. Okay. If you can, without fighting, without pushing, without getting in trouble. Now, نعم. So if the stones of the Kaaba and the curtains of the Kaaba, the door of the Kaaba, they are not to be kissed, so anything else would not be kissed. No stone, no tree, nothing. Now you find some ignorance from the Sufis, they just kiss anything. They go to the grave of some sheikh and kiss the door, kiss the walls, kiss this, kiss that. Naam. So the sheikh says, people, they need to learn the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in tawaf and in sa'i and in everything. And they should not innovate in the deen of Allah. They should not just accept whatever people tell them to do. They should not just go there and forget about what they learn with the adillah and just copy the people and do what the people do in law. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, "Man ahdatha fi dinina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa radd." Whoever invents and introduces anything to our religion that is not from it, it will be rejected. In another hadith, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa radd." More comprehensive than the other one. Whoever does any action that is not in accordance with what we are upon, it will be rejected. So a person goes all the way, leaving his family, putting his money, effort, just to act upon certain things that it will be rejected. You gotta follow the sunnah. You may go there and find yourself maybe the only one trying to practice the sunnah. Everybody is doing something else. What do? You just, because shaitan is gonna trick you. It's like, hey, you think you're the only one? No. Look, all these people, thousands. You think all these people are wrong? For instance, you're going for tawaf al qudum. The first tawaf, and you're a man, okay, for the men. And you put in the iza, the rida, and the, meaning making ittiba. And you go there, nobody is doing it. So what are you going to do? Oh, you cover it? No, you keep it. Because you're doing the sunnah. You go to sa'i, and you may see the majority of the people still exposing their right shoulder. But you, because you learned in the class that you, after tawaf, that's it. Before you pray, you cover your right shoulder. Some people do that. But then if they are not firm, then they go over there, they see many people doing something else, and they follow them. No, you can't just follow whenever somebody tell you do this. Now we follow what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us to do, regardless what other people say. Yes. No, no, the whole tawaf. This shoulder here, he'll be exposed the whole tawaf. Once he finished the tawaf, the first tawaf, when you just get there, you cover it. The Sheikh mentioned a point, even though it's not in tawaf, in Medina. He said, if the Kaaba cannot be kissed, nothing in the Kaaba should be kissed except the Hajar al-Aswad. Nothing in the Kaaba should be touched with your hand except the Hajar al-Aswad and the Rukn al-Yamani. He said, likewise, nothing else, including the walls where the Prophet ﷺ is buried. Because he was buried in the house of Aisha, the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. Now some ignorant people, they go there and rub themselves against those walls and cry and blessings from those walls, and this is not right. This is wrong. So the Shaykh, he says that whoever visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he go over there to visit the masjid, and now he wants to give the salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or go to the al-Baqiyah, or any grave of any person, it is strictly forbidden to kiss any wall or any grave or anything, or to rub your body against it, or your hands or anything. No kissing. None. So the Shaykh, he says, person make tawaf, you remember Allah, humble yourself, make dua, read Quran, istighfar, and the like. However, between the Rukn al-Yamani, when you get to Rukn al-Yamani, while you're walking towards the Hajar al-Aswad, then it is the sunnah to say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. If you forget, it's okay. It's not like you have to go back and do it. No, you keep going. Once again, it is strictly forbidden, and because it's an innovation for the people to believe that there is a specific dua for each round. Another point very important, that kissing the Hajar al-Aswad and touching it with your right hand, and touching with the right hand the Rukn al-Yamani, is specific for the tawaf. It is not a person not making tawaf going to go kiss and go home. No. It's in tawaf. If a person making tawaf, yes, he can kiss the Hajar al-Aswad and touch it and touch with his right hand the Rukn al-Yaman, because that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. And we mentioned that the third round for this tawaf is that the men, not the women, they do ramal. A ramal is that they walk faster with the short steps. Almost like they are running, but they are not running. Okay? That's only for men, not for women. And in the first round of the seventh, in the first tawaf, not tawaf of Hajj, not tawaf al-Wada, if there is a room in front of you. But if it's crowded, you don't. You just walk with the people. Women, there is no ramal on them. Rather, they walk. If a person have doubt, shak, on the, and lose, and lost count, because you have to do seven, and remember, subhanAllah, you're going, you're making dua, it's crowded, this, people pushing, maybe. So some people, they be like, oh, what is it? Is it four or five? Is this number four, or is this number five? What they do? He will, based on the lowest number. Always the lowest number. I'm just giving this as an example. Could be three and two. What is the lowest number in three and two? Two, so he make it two. If it's, he says, is this is the last one or the second one? Can it happen? Huh? That's a problem. If somebody says, is this the last one or the second one? Nah, this person meaning he's not there. Usually person may say, is this is the last one, akhi? What does it mean? Six or six, even if he doesn't say it. If he has doubt if this is the last one, then what he has to do? Make it the sixth and go to another one. Okay? Alhamdulillah. But the Sheikh, he says, sometimes you may have a doubt too, and is this is the fifth or the sixth? But then that person remember at that moment that yes, it is the sixth. Okay? He remembers. Maybe as he's doing the sixth, he meets somebody he knows. And that somebody says, where you are? He said, this is my sixth. Alhamdulillah. See? This is my sixth. Because you may know somebody who just coming from tawaf. He just started in tawaf, but you are in the sixth. And the brother says, Salaamu Alaikum, how you doing? Alhamdulillah. Because he can't talk. Where are you? What round? Oh, this is my sixth. Alhamdulillah. Okay? But then, it's crowded. He's making dua after maybe 10 minutes. Because sometimes one round may take you 20 minutes. Or 15 or 10. SubhanAllah, yes. Sometimes the tawaf may take you 10 minutes if there is nobody there. Not even. Because the closest to the Kaaba, the easiest. Because you're just walking. But now, if it's crowded and you're way back there, and you're moving slowly, sometimes you have to stop because of the crowd. Sometimes you have to do 10, 15 minutes just from the Blackstone to go back to the Blackstone. It takes you hour and a half to finish the tawaf. Alhamdulillah, you're upon ibadah. So now if this happened, you already said to that person, this is my sixth, but after 5 minutes you forget, is this sixth or fifth? But now you know you make it what? No, you don't make it the fifth. You make it the sixth. If you remember that, conversation with that person. You see? If you remember, oh no, the brother just asked me, who is the sixth? Oh, he is the sixth. Inshallah, that's. And sometimes also you be in a group. You be like three people, four, five. And one of them said to them, Akhi, this is the third or the fourth? So they, if they sure, they said, no, this is the fourth. So he goes with them. No. And then after the tawaf, it is recommended to pray two rak'at. Not obligatory. And it is recommended from the sunnah to perform those two rak'at after you finish the tawaf behind the station of Ibrahim. Station of Ibrahim is right there by the Hajar al-Aswad. Okay? But only if there is room. But if the people is crowded and people making tawaf in that area, they have more rights, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he says, than that person who's praying there, who want to pray the sunnah. So he says he should go and find any place in the Masjid al-Haram to perform this two rak'at. And then a person on his way to the Safa and Marwa to perform sa'i can drink zamzam. Can drink some zamzam. Alhamdulillah, there is a lot of zamzam in there. Alhamdulillah, they make it available. Alhamdulillah, everywhere. So you just have to ask and you will find it, inshallah. In Sahih Muslim, he mentioned the benefits and the virtues of Zamzam. From it, the hadith of Abi Dharr, the long hadith, in Sahih Muslim, number 6359. قال إنها مباركة إنها طعام طعمين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says that the Zamzam water is a blessed water. It is blessed. It's blessing in it, and it is food. Okay. And Abu Dawud and Tayalisi, they add وشفاء سقمين, and also it is the cure for illness. And also in the hadith, there is collected by Ibn Majah, and some of the people of knowledge, they authenticated this hadith. Others, they said it's Hassan. You can check Irwa al-Ghalil of Imam al-Albani, hadith number 1123, that the Prophet ﷺ said, ma'u zamzam lima shuriba lahu. Ma'u zamzam is for what you make your intention to drink it for. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said in his book Zad al-Ma'ad, Ma'u Zamzam is the master of all waters, the noble of all of them, the most precious and noble of all waters, and the most beloved in to people. Most beloved to people is Zamzam water. Sheikh said, yes, it is permissible for someone who's making Hajj or a person who make Umrah before they return home to their loved ones to bring with them some Zamzam water. It is permissible to give it to their people to drink and to give it to the sick people to drink from it, inshallah ta'ala, to give it as a gift. So this is one of the most beautiful and virtuous of all gifts because it is ma' mubarak fihi shifa. It is a blessed water that contains a cure. I mentioned the hadith in Sahih al-Tirmidhi, in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, with a chain of narration that is Hassan, that Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to bring Zamzam water with her. And she used to inform the people that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to carry Zamzam too with him. Then a person after drinking Zamzam, he goes to the Sa'i. Okay? We go to Sa'i. These details, they're not going to be repeated. That's why I pay attention to them. Because when we get to the Hajj, and on the 10th of the Hijjah, the Eid day, because you have to make Tawaf and Sa'i. So pay attention. It's not going to be repeated, these details. Okay? They're now in the this. Because the same way you make Tawaf, and Sa'i, when you get to Mecca the first time, it's the same tawaf and sa'i you're going to make on the day of the Eid, the 10th of the Hijjah, for tawaf al-ifada. So after finishing the tawaf and praying those two rak'at and drinking some zamzam, if you can, then the pilgrim go to make sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Now al-qarin al-mufrid, the person who's performing hajj as qiran and ifrad, they have a choice. When they make it to Mecca, after they finish tawaf, if they choose to make sa'i between Safa and Marwa, that sa'i between Safa and Marwa will count for them for their hajj. Meaning, on the 10th of the Hijjah, they make only tawaf. You see? The mutamatti' make two tawaf and two sa'i. The qarin and the mufrid make two tawafs and one sa'i. But if they choose after they make that tawaf, when upon their arrival to Mecca the first time, they choose to just leave, no sa'i, it's okay. But they have to make it on the Eid day. No. The Shaykh says, and what is better is that you immediately make sa'i after you finish tawaf. Don't delay, because that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. But if a person delayed the sa'i for a reason, it's okay, it's permissible. Let's say somebody after tawaf really got very tired, hungry, gonna pass out. They said, look, I'm gonna go get me something to eat, I'm gonna get some rest and then make sa'i. It's okay. Okay, but it's better to do it right away. Likewise, sa'i between Safa and Marwa is 7 rounds. Unlike the Kaaba, you go around in a circle, this one you go straight in the highway. Straight shot. Straight. Of course, you're going to go down and go up. It's a valley. And you go straight line. Okay? And come back in that same line. Not like you're going around like on the Kaaba. Okay? The Kaaba is a circle. You go around the Kaaba in circle. You start from Hajar al-Aswad and return to it. Safa, you start from Safa and go to the Marwa. That's number one. From Marwa, you come back to Safa. That's number two. Okay? Then you go back to Marwa. That's three. Come back to Safa. That's four. Go back to Marwa, that's number 5. Come back to Safa, that's number 6. Go back to Marwa, that's number 7. And that's, you end, that's the sa'i. Ends it. So you start in Safa, you end where? At Marwa. Remember, the add numbers were? At Marwa. 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 1, 3, 5, 7. 2, 4, 6 in Safa. This is how you remember. What you do once you get to Safa? It's permissible to climb because it's like a little hill. But right now they block it because it caused a lot of injury and people shoving, pushing each other. Alhamdulillah, they block it with the wall, but they leave a long space in there that is even. What you do? It is sunnah. If you don't do it, it's okay, you say. If someone just go there and start from Safa and didn't say anything, walk to Marwa, straightway come back, and then that's okay, that's sa'i. But now we're telling you the sa'i of the sunnah that will get you more benefit, alhamdulillah, okay? What you do, once you get to Safa, you choose a place when it is not too crowded, and you face the Qibla, which is the Kaaba. Face it. You raise your hand. Actually, as soon as you get there, you say the ayah, Inna Safa wal Marwata min Sha'airillah. And that's the only time you say that. You don't say it every round. At that time in the beginning, that's it. And you say Nabda'u bima bada Allahu bihi, because the Prophet ﷺ said that in Hadith of Jabir, the long Hadith. Why? Because in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala mentioned Safa before the Marwa in Surah Al-Baqarah. Inna Safa wal Marwa. Allah didn't say Inna al-Marwa wal Safa. That's why you start with Safa first. And then what you say after you say Inna Safa wal Marwa min Sha'a'irillah, you raise your hand, you face the Qibla, which is the Kaaba, and you say La ilaha illallah وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. This is a dhikr. And then you raise your hand and make a long dua. So people are still going making say. Somebody already make it to Marwa, you're still there. No rush, because you're trying to get as much blessing as you can. Then you make a long dua. Once you finish the dua, some people, they may take them a minute or two, some make 10, 15 minutes, who knows. Then once you say the dhikr again, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. La ilaha illallah wahdahu anjaza wa'dahu wa nasara 'abdahu wa hazama al-ahzaba wahdahu. That's number two. Then you make the dua, long dua. So now two dhikr, two dua. Then you make the same dhikr. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. La ilaha illallah wahdahu anjaza wa'dahu wa nasara 'abdahu wa hazama al-ahzaba wahdahu. For the third time, and you go towards Marwa. No third dua after that.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
نعم. Then a person proceed towards the Marwa. There is no specific dua. Once again, for every round, person read Quran, make dua, Alhamdulillah. But pay attention. There is, as you go, because this is like I told you, a straight line. It's a wall. It's beautiful over there, mashallah, marble, and it's nice, it's beautiful. Don't you think you're going to go to like a valley? Like one brother, he was with me from New York, we finished tawaf, he's like, okay, let's go, man. We're going to chase some goats and some dogs and run. I said, what are you talking about? He said, we're going between the two mountains. You see, he thinks like we're going to go to the forest, two mountains and a rock and dirt. That's what he was thinking. I said, no, man, come. Akhi, when we get there and he see the marbles and how clean, he start crying. He said, Subhanallah. He said, all of this time I read what Hajar did. That she was running between the two. He said, really, I thought me and we're going to go, like we're going to climb a mountain and trees and rocks and dogs and goats. I'm like, no. Not in our time, at least. So pay attention as you live in the Safa towards the Marwa, to the right, to your right on the wall, you're going to, as soon as you go a little bit, maybe 30, 40 feet or meters or something, you're going to see a red light, a mark, green. It used to be one green here and one in the end, the other one, but now they put it all green so they can see. It is a sunnah, not obligation, that once you hit that mark, the green light, for men to run as fast as you can. Of course, if you can. Somebody has bad knees or crutches, you don't run, you walk. Women, they do not run. The men with their women, they walk with them. If it's crowded, you don't push people and run, you just walk. If it's okay for you to run, then you run until you see the other green end, the end of the green light that is on the wall. Okay? And then you stop and continue towards the Marwa. What you do in Marwa? Same thing. You face the Qibla. Don't be in the way of the people, because the people, some people, they don't do this thing. They just keep going around. So you go a little bit in the back and you face the Kaaba. If you see it, it's easy. If it's not, you face its direction. And alhamdulillah, you do the same thing. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. La ilaha illallah wahdahu anjaza wa'dahu wa nasara 'abdahu wa hazama al-ahzaba wahdahu. That's the dhikr. And then you raise your hand and make a long dua. Then you make this dhikr once again, and then you make a long dua for the second time. Then you make the dhikr for the third time and come back to Marwa, to Safa actually. Same thing, you remember Allah, you make dua. There is no specific dua for each round. Okay? You don't raise your voice. You walk with humility. You don't bother anybody. Don't push anybody. Alhamdulillah. Same thing, as you're coming back, you're getting close to Safa, you gotta see the green mark again. Because those marks, the green marks, they are closer to Safa than to Marwa. You do the same thing. Once you get to Safa, that's number two now. You just finished two rounds. Then you do the same thing as you did in the first. Then you go to the Marwa until you end up in Marwa, okay? You can read Quran, alhamdulillah, and the like. And the Shaykh says, it is not a condition for sa'i to be upon tahara. For tawaf, yes. Tawaf, you have to be upon wudu and tahara. Sa'i, no. If somebody lost his tahara, it's okay to make sa'i even if you're not on wudu. Shaykh said, because there is no dalil that said that. And he mentioned the asl, that why the word of sa'i come from, because of Hajar, Ummu Ismail alayhi salam, and her story is well known in Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith number 3364 from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. The Prophet said, that's why the people, they make sa'i between them, because of the story of Hajar Ummu Ismail. Likewise, the Shaykh says, the sa'i, you do it only in Hajj and Umrah. And it is a rukn in both of them. It's a pillar in both of them. You know, a person doesn't come there and make only sa'i and go home. No. It has to be in Hajj or in Umrah. Because there is no dalil. As for tawaf, yes. Tawaf, you can make tatawwu'. If a person go and make his Umrah, finish it, mashallah, and he came next day for Salat al-Fajr, and it's not crowded, alhamdulillah, there is room, want to make another tawaf, he can. With your clothing, it's okay. Alhamdulillah. Come for Dhuhr, want to make another tawaf? No problem. Come for Asr, want to make another tawaf? It's okay, but keep in mind, the Ramadi says, but if it's crowded, leave the room for the people who are making Umrah. Don't crowd the people. Go do something else. Make Tahiyyat al-Masjid and read Quran and the like, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when you finish the sahi in Umrah, you do halq and taqsir. Remember, shaving the entire head for man, or clipping it entire head, not just take a little bit. It is from the obligatory elements of Hajj and Umrah. And he was mentioned in the obligatory elements of Hajj al-Umrah in that chapter. Keep in mind, shaving for men is better than trimming. Unless, if you're coming to make Hajj, and you made it to Mecca in Dhul Hijjah. You're very close to the 8th, maybe in the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th. And if you shave, you know your hair needs more than those days to grow, because you still have to shave in the Eid day. The ulama, they says, now it is better for you not to shave, to trim it, so you can still have some hair to shave it in the Eid day. Is this clear? But if you're just going for Umrah, then you shave is better for you. But if you go for Hajj, and you made Umrah, but you still have 2 weeks, 3 weeks in front of you, until the Eid day, alhamdulillah, you have enough time for your hair to grow back, or not all of it, but some of it, then you, it's still, shave it is better. But if you're so close to the 8th of the Hijjah, it's better to trim it, so you can leave some hair for you to shave on the Eid. The women, as we mentioned before, the Shaykh I read to you, the women, they take only like the tip of a finger from their braid. That's it. They don't shave, they don't trim. If a person does this, that's it. Alhamdulillah, the mutamatti', he came out of ihram. That's it. You go to your hotel, your villa, you take a shower, you get out of the clothing of ihram, and you become normal person. You can put perfume on, mashallah. If you have your wife with you, mashallah, it's permissible for you, you're permissible for her. You wear your regular clothing until the 8th of the Hijjah, and you get in a state of ihram again. Okay? And and with this we come to an end, inshallah ta'ala, in this Hajj, in this class. Tomorrow we'll start with Hajj. Very important, that's what you do, inshallah, on the 8th of the Hijjah. What do you do, where you go, and then the 9th, where you be, what you do, then the 10th of the Hijjah, that night actually, where you be at, and what you do on the 10th day of the Hijjah, inshallah, this is what we're going to start tomorrow, and inshallah, on Monday and Tuesday. Hopefully, we'll finish them by Tuesday, and as I promised, on Wednesday, we may give you a summary of the Hajj. This was a very lengthy, alhamdulillah. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.